agency is. But that's a gold standard. And that is not just for the benefit of the drug companies, but presumably it's a benefit for the public. So I think that's crucial here. And unfortunately, President Trump is not respecting that. And that's why our own Stat Harris poll found that 78% of Americans believe that the vaccine approval is being, that politics is coming before science when it comes to the vaccine approval process.
Ed Silverman, I want to thank you for being with us, senior writer and columnist at statnews.com. We're going to link to your latest piece, Everyone Was Left to Guess What Went Wrong, an open letter to AstraZeneca's CEO on transparency. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced by a remarkable team led by our general manager, Julie Crosby, Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tia Sena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Maria Studio, John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Honey Masood, and Adriano Contreras. Also, special thanks to Becca Staley, Miriam Barnard, Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Wear a mask, save lives.
Sweetest of love, I found out. Came upon me,
this is KBOO Portland. We are creeping up on the 8 o'clock hour when it will be time for Minding the Gap, or Bridging the Gap. Right now, it's time for anyone who's got the means to pitch in a little on KBOO's end of summer appeal to you, the listeners, the audience, the community of community radio. Please, if you can, if you've got that spare scratch that you can kick in, please join Aaron and Jennifer and another Aaron and Jan and Rick and Robert, all from right here in town, and join Teresa and Corvallis, Paul and Hood River, Francis, and I guess this, I'm not sure if this is ironic or not, in Paris, and Nancy in Albany. Be part of your community in another way. Invest in your community radio, KBOO Portland. Thank you very much at kboo.fm/give. If you can, not everyone can. If you can, put in what you can. And if you got a little extra, help cover the people who can't. Why don't you? Thank you so much. Stay tuned.
Good morning to everyone, Portland, Corvallis, Mount Hood, Columbus, the coast, the internet, and the galaxies, the whole world, and beyond. My name is Tammy. You're listening to The Gap here in your local community, Connection, KBOO. On the line with me is my better half, the luxurious. Is that a good one for you? Althea Billing.
Wow.
How are you, Althea? Ooh.
Wow, hi, I'm okay. I don't know if I feel exactly luxurious. I don't know if I was prepared for that moniker, but I appreciate it. Maybe it's something I can aspire to. I will say I just woke up, so it's like maybe a little more lethargic than luxurious, but yeah, I could work towards that today.
Well, we were just talking about how the bees get lethargic when it's smoky outside, so that's just, you know, what are we but, you know, bees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Name three ways I'm more complex than a bee. You can't. They can fly.
They're more complex than you. And they're not supposed to, supposedly, because they're very big and their body weight isn't supposed to be able to carry it. That's what I hear, but I'm not a scientist. I do my own science. It's not real.
I feel the same thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say a bee is nothing but a little bundle of controversies.
Hmm. You know, without them, no one even be able to be here. So, shout out to the
That's
bees.
True. Definitely. Shout out to all the bees listening. You guys are the best.
Smoke. It probably sucks for you feeling lethargic. We're kind of feeling it too. And the studio is Sonia. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Appreciate your hard work. And so today is another fiery day in some spots. Althea, what's it looking like in your end of the woods? Your neck of the woods,
I'm not in Portland right now. I'm visiting family in Seattle. So it's smoky here, but like nowhere near on the level that is going on in northwestern Oregon right now. My roommate has been texting me about what things do I want her to take from our apartment just in case she does get evacuated. And I'm like, I don't know, my passport? I'd hate to lose my softball bit. Oh my God, my plants.
Your plants. Yeah, and I was listening to Juneteenth Radio yesterday when I called in because I was on the coast where it was over 500 index for the air quality, and it was really unbelievable. So close to the ocean, and yet still, like, you could feel the fiery blaze and the rain. It was raining ash and no internet, which was, you know, really, you know, for me, whatever, but I was just thinking about all the people that have to, like, online classes or, you know, kids that supposed to be in school and parents that were counting on that. And I'm like, man, this is just really like things on top of things on top of things. We're going to get through this. 2020 has been hard and we'll manage. We'll manage. We'll do it. Yeah.
And here's what I will say, you know, in like July, everyone was like, well, in April, it was this thing. Do you guys remember murder hornets? What's going to happen in September? Stop saying stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah. Or like stop saying it could get worse. Don't test it. No need to test.
Don't tempt fate. It's not funny anymore. I don't know if it was really that funny then, but just definitely don't say that because maybe that's what's causing it. And I don't think that's true, but definitely the chance that it is. Might as
probably
well
not.
Just kind of, you know.
Well, here in the gap,
what's
going to
happen?
I was saying, here at the gap, we do have manifesting powers. So, you know,
that's true.
As the listeners, as fans of the show know, you know, we have had predicted a couple of things and they did come true. So, I'm predicting nothing but goodness from here on out.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, and it feels like the next kind of month that is like unknown is like December, and boy, do I just not. I just don't even, because I feel like even if I was like, oh, we're going to have a lovely snowfall, it's like, no, that's going to get twisted and turned on me. I've seen the movies. You know, we're going to get a blizzard. We're going to all get snowed in. Can't do that. Portlanders are bad at driving in the snow. So I won't, that was just a test one. I didn't mean that. If that comes true, it's not on me.
Well, I hope that, you know, you and your plants and your passport are, you know, we'll get through this. I think personally, when I was on Juneteenth Radio yesterday, I was listening to them, and I think it was a former cable volunteer, and they're talking about how if you have any explosives or any kind of ammunition, firecrackers or what is it, fireworks or anything like that, put them in the bathtub, run water over them so that, you know, if the blaze does enter your home and you are not there because you've been evacuated, at least that won't add, I was going to say, add oil to the flame, no pun intended.
Yeah,
it would, you know,
fuel
it would,
to the fire.
I never thought about that. And I know people love their fireworks and ammo. So I was like, man, that is really good. I'm going to try to repeat that whenever I can. So here I am repeating it because I didn't think about it. And I really just stay safe. Shout out to Asia Hawthorne, who's hopefully not been evacuated or evacuated. Haven't been able to get in touch with her this morning, but hopefully things are good. And speaking of this morning, we have a couple of things that we want to talk about. And I'll say, I know we didn't prep for this earlier, but I do want to acknowledge that it is September 11th. And I know that maybe like some folks are, it's crazy to know that there's some people that weren't born when September 11th happened that like have ideas and thoughts and are, you know, full on people. But for folks who were around for September 11th and remember that feeling and that like that feeling of despair and like not, you know, just like scared and just, you know, all the stuff that happened after that. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge it and send my sympathies and again, best wishes. And it's going to circle back again because we are going to be talking about political punditry later in the show. And you have a little clip for that. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. But with all that, all the stuff that's happening, and today being, you know, September 11th, I just wanted to circle back to what we talked about last week. We had some great callers and some great conversation about social capital and Robert Putnam's book, Bowling Alone. And we're talking about ways to be more neighborly. And Althea, I think you said that, you know, we both said that we'll both do something, be more neighborly, do at least one thing that's more neighborly. And Althea, I'd like to know, what did you do this week to be more neighborly?
Yeah, it wasn't like with my direct neighbors, like right who I live by, but I had, after the show, I kind of like had it in mind. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give it a go. You know, like I feel like I'm empowered to, you know, greet someone. And what I did was like, you know, talk to someone at a park that I normally would have like, I'm like, oh God, I don't want to talk to anybody. Don't look at me or the dog. And that felt really good. And also just like saying hi to people on the street. There was also like a couple at a Fred Meyer that were like, wanted to make sure that the woman was okay. And so I was greeted them and tried to get a read on the situation when I think before we had that conversation, I maybe would have thought it, but not had the guts to do it. What did you do for thinking about being more neighborly?
Well, that's lovely, Althea. I wish that you keep doing that and find the confidence to, you know, keep being a better you like you want to do. For me, I posted one of these things on Facebook, which I don't really do at all, ever, where it's like, type in the thing you're allergic to with the word little in front of it, and then you get your rapper name. And it was really silly and dumb, and again, I would never do it, but I honestly got so much joy from seeing all my friends commented, and it was just like a little piece of, you know, of light and, you know, on a website that is otherwise filled with darkness. And, you know, then, hey, I got to figure out what my friends are allergic to. So, you know, that's good to really, really good to know. Yeah.
Can you give me some examples of what did people write?
Oh, yeah, there was a little dust mite. Oh, I thought it was so cute because I'm allergic to dust mites, too, so there you go. There was little cats, and that made me sad because the person that wrote that loves cats. So, you know, I was like, aw, but you love it. You know, so, like, even created just ways to talk. I think there was something about a vaccine, which was very specific, but still had a little... You know, that
maybe
really
a little penicillin. People are allergic to penicillin. Little penicillin. That's funny.
And then within little the comments, little selfish. I like that. I know, right? You're just going to keep going. I don't even need to. But within the comments, I saw that people were commenting to each other. And it was like this really wholesome just exchange of like hee-hees and ha-has. And it was nice, and it took nothing from me besides being like, I'm going to share this, you know, even though it's not serious and hard-hitting and you know, whatever. It was just light, but it got the point across. And again, now I know what my friends are allergic to, which is really, really good to know. Like, you wouldn't imagine. Like, I would have totally accidentally gave one of my friends an allergic reaction from if I hadn't have posted that, you know, like, so.
Yeah. Trina?
Trina, Tony, do you have anything?
No.
Okie doke.
Sonia was not neighborly this week, you guys. Sonia was... Don't even start with all the ways that Sonia sabotaged her neighborhood. I had leaves in my house, and I spread them on everybody's front doorstep. Everybody has to sweep.
Crunching away the little leaves.
I feed other people's cats really high-end cat food to get them used to that, so then they start turning up their noses at the food that their owners give them?
That is pretty chaotic and not neighborly. Probably makes everybody, your neighbor's relationship with their cat a little bit worse. But that's
the way to get you and your neighbors to get better, I guess, is through.
And I'm really sweet sweet to everyone else's dogs too. I'm really like making everyone have to, like, so that everyone else, so all my neighbors' dogs will like me better.
Yeah, yeah. You want them to get on the level.
Just get some treats in your pockets when you walk around and stuff and give it to them. That's it.
You know how some dogs like charge the fence and bark at you? Like my neighbor's dogs like charge the fence and like stick their nose through to lick my hand.
Aw.
Wow.
I'd be jealous. I said it.
Well, I mean, dogs are your neighbors too. Maybe that does count as being neighborly if you're creating a relationship with your neighbors. We didn't say they had to be human.
We didn't, and neither did Mr. Rogers. So there were,
we certainly didn't.
We were at there. So I wanted to. Well, I'm glad that we got that, you know, squared away. It really did bring me a lot of joy, and I really enjoyed hearing what people had to say last week. So I wanted to just bring that around. So for our stuff today, said we're going to be talking about political punditry and its repercussion on, you know, us, the greater public. And then we're going to be doing a part two for the Citizens Agenda. And Althea will spearhead that segment in a bit. But before that, I wanted to talk about a Facebook post that I saw yesterday from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. Althea, you saw this, you know the post I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So big picture that just says spreading rumors, with the little insignia of the police department, the sheriff's department. And so what happened yesterday, as we know, you know, there's people are being evacuated because of the wildfires and all over Oregon, and there was a rumor for some reason started that there were people on the side of the road, on the side of the highways, setting fire to the side of the highways and to their cars and stuff like that, walking away. And they were supposedly rumored to have been people associated with a politically associated members to Antifa, which then the Douglas County Sheriff's Department posted that it's untrue, and that this is just untrue. And it's really, really unfortunate that this is happening during a forest, during the fires, and that this is endangering people. And dispatchers were, you know, people were calling into the police department to basically, you know, I mean, they were getting bombarded phone calls from, I see smoke out my window, to there are people setting fires on the side of the highway. And they had to, and I was listening to their to the radio reports in Lincoln City, and they were saying things like, please don't call us with saying I see smoke out the window. Just listen to what you need to listen to. We're going to communicate with you, and then, and just, you know, like, their procedures, and we will communicate them with you. So it's this, you know, one part of me was like, this is awesome, you know, like, they're taking the initiative to be like, no, this is not true. And, but then a part of me is like, wow, this is really sad that this is, that people are so hopped up in this political madness that's going on right now, that like they see a situation and that's the first place that they take it to, as opposed to and we'll get into the actual. Althea, would you like to extenuate on what the people on the side of the road looked like? Because it's really just ridiculous. They're wearing vests.
Yeah, they're wearing, like, it was people either taking pictures of the fire that were like going down more southward from Portland to try to like help out and bring water to people. And there was another incident that had some sort of militia folks riled up of Sergio Olmos from OPB and some other reporters who were not white, mind you, who had press badges on them, but like these militia people were like, hey, we don't want outsiders right now, get the F back in your car and get out of here, because they were like riled up with this idea and with this imagery. And it also kind of goes back to like the Antifa rumor of 2 days previous, which was that the homeless encampments set up by the city for COVID, like down waterfront, were getting photographed by, I don't know who started it, to be honest with you, but saying that that was like a city-sanctioned Antifa encampment. And I saw, you know, I'm up in Seattle right now, I saw on the news up here, that's not happening. It's been very well documented what goes on in this camp. Like, it started in April. It's not a part of that, and I think it's definitely it's troubling to say the least.
Oh, very troubling.
When, but it's like we're seeing another emergency situation, the same as the pandemic, become like politicized, I guess, when really it should be like, oh Lord, there's a wildfire coming, we got to get out of here. And that the press and like officials are the people who keep track of that kind of thing, and that let's go to them for the information. But yeah, the idea of official, like, follow your official sources, stop spreading rumors, and don't like they're managing an emergency right now, please stop calling them about something that is like blatantly untrue. The wildfires in the West are not a mass arson campaign. Gotta underline that. And I mean, it does happen this time of year, like it is wildfire season, but like it's on another level. And I think people in other parts of the country who aren't used to that sort of like cycle have maybe a stronger reaction to it this year, or that it feels like it must be political if it's gotten bad when things are so bad in so many other arenas.
I can see what you mean just from the images of, and the whole, this place is a war zone, look, this whole city is on fire, and then the stuff, you know, and then stuff is on fire, just because, like you said, it's that time of the year, and I can see, like, from far away, not having that, that like, ration, or, like, that context, like, you know, as an East Coast transplant, I know, I see, you know, this is not normal, what the heck is going on? Meanwhile, like, my, you know, Portlander, you know, born and raised folks are like, oh yeah, this is bad, but yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, the way it is. So I can see like some people like not having that context, just being like, what is going on? What is happening? They've taken to the forest or whatever. But to piggyback on what you're saying about being so politically, things being so politically charged, When I saw the Douglas County Sheriff's Department post that, I was like, well, look at you, like, you know, just like saying it how it is. Because I'm sure someone was like, this might be political. Someone might misinterpret this. Someone might say this and that and this. But they said, no, this is a fact. Like, this is a fact. And
yeah,
this is going to cause a problem. Like, someone in that, I mean, you know, I'm just saying there was some forethought in being like, let's shut this down right now before this becomes, you know, even, you know, because before this escalates anymore. So the post itself has like 26,000 reshares and comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many comments, and so I'm hoping that it got out there to people, so they aren't like it's just so dangerous. It's a real slippery slope, a very slippery slope. And stop spreading rumors. That's the name of it. I know it's not a campaign or anything, it's just a post, but it's very important. And I don't understand why things like this are constantly happening. Like, if you are seeing posts from someone who's like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, 420, like, most likely that's not a legitimate news source, you know? And
I think this is kind of like a spot where we can start talking a little bit more about like political punditry and what it means, and kind of like, I think that we are more engulfed in, I keep having all these like these fire references, engulfed in the flames of misinformation because of a lot of these news pundits that we, political pundits, and they are not, you know, they don't have, they're not necessarily on the side of truth. They're on the side of their own morals, and everybody's morals are different. Obviously, we are seeing that every day. We see this. We see this.
I just had a thought.
Go ahead.
Can I say one thing?
Please do.
It's interesting to, like, I'm having sort of like a reframing in my own mind about thinking about these kinds of things as rumors. And I think it's because, like, a lot of it is like, oh, fake news is sort of like a hot button word of like, ah, I have an opinion about what is or isn't fake news. But it's also interesting to think of, like, when you were in school or whatever, that we had like assemblies of like, hey, stop gossiping, don't spread rumors about people, don't like make things up that could harm somebody else. And I feel like I, even in sort of just like not thinking about it super deeply, but just like construing it as a rumor is really, is interesting to me, and I wonder if it resonates with people differently than it's like, oh, that's fake news, do that, versus like, hey, that's a rumor and it's not true, so please stop telling people because it's harmful, stop gossiping. And it's like, I think there's also like a sense of, I don't know, I think of gossip and like gossip magazines and like, you know, tabloids and stuff, and that people,
it's not something that there's, you want to be part of.
Right, and that there's a sense of like, okay, that, like, I see a tabloid, I know that that is sensational. Maybe there's a grain of truth from which it came from, but now it's like so overblown to a certain level that whatever celebrity is not doing whatever they said they are. Because I have also learned from the tabloids that celebrities are just like us. They also take their dogs on walks. Go ahead.
There's something to be said about the Douglas County Sheriff's Department. I think, I the more I think about it, the more I'm like, this post is actually, like, genius. Because I, do you think that maybe that was the phrase, stop spreading rumors, was, like, because of all the reason you just listed, as opposed to, like, fake news or misinformation, which have completely, those words have come, well, fake news, is there, it's not a word, so let's just, that is double speak, and that is just straight out of George Orwell, so let's, you know, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
So stop spreading rumors, stop gossiping. It almost appeals to, like, the, like you said, like the kid in you that should know better, you know?
Totally. And that I feel like I'm being lectured in middle school. It's like, hey, Michelle doesn't have a tail, stop saying that to people. Like, stop spreading rumors. And I sort of feel that, like, childhood things, like, okay, sorry, I knew better and I did it anyway.
They're not Antifa members burning down the side of the road. Stop it. Cut it out. You're spreading rumors. Yeah, that's totally more, I think there's something to that, Althea. I think there's, you cracked it. I think you cracked the nail on the head on that.
Hell yeah. wow, I'm so proud of myself. It's so early.
Yeah, this is going to great places. Cause we did talk about this yesterday, but, you know, just hearing it again with, and I have this little clip that I want to play from J.J. McCullough, who's a political pundit, or an ex-political pundit / YouTuber from Canada, and kind of just, you know, explains it a little bit. But before we do that, I wanted to take a moment to remind listeners that you are listening to The Gap. I am Tammy. On the line with me is Althea. Althea Billings, say hello.
Hello.
How's it going? And we are in the midst of our membership fund drive. We are, community-led, community volunteer power, and it's your local community station. And, you know, just like we were talking about, times are just insane. You know, I was going to say odd, but that's just, no, insane.
You don't have to undercut it.
I won't undercut it. And I know
we're
that
in unprecedented times. Hey, can it? I know it's unprecedented. Go ahead.
I know that I count on, like, on my local community connection, KBOO, especially the evening news, to know the truth and not rumors or to listen to gossip and to actually, you know, listen to facts. I also like all the different programmings that there are here in Cebu, from really great programs. I'm not going to name any favorites because I don't think that's right. To the music programming, just some amazing stuff, the talk radio, the pre-recorded stuff. I'm hoping the station could be open soon. But in the meantime, we are taking funds. We're taking donations in any way that you can, whether it's online at kboo.fm/give, or you could even send a donation via snail mail or real mail to the station at 20 South East 8th Ave here in Portland. And until the 20th of this month, every single dollar that you donate will be matched up to $10,000. I mean, I think there was possibly a conversation that we had about a Gap special for...
Well,
tell listeners.
Important thing about the match is that you're able to double your investment if you are able to contribute before September 20th, which is very, very cool. But we were also thinking, you know, what do we want to do? How can we repay people in some way for supporting our station? And we're willing to, if you write it in your donation, we'll record a little voice message for you. Your favorite show, The Gap, Tammy and Althea. If you want me to be the outgoing voicemail on your phone, I'll do it. I'll turn people away. I'll say they're not here right now. What did we say for the amount to qualify for that incredible opportunity for me to record your?
It's an incredible opportunity.
Voicemail.
If you want to just have a soundbite to go to whenever you have an uncle who's being crazy, you know, you'll have me saying, "Hey, get out of here! That's crazy." You know,
that's a good
that.
One.
$25.
Yeah, or I could lead you in a guided meditation, but as a video, as a audio file. You know,
I'd like that. I'm into that. I like that.
Yeah, what are we saying for the donation amount though? How much should they gotta cough up?
We were going at for that. We were going at $25, and you will be gifted with a MP3 file, or even a WAV file, even a FLAC file.
Those are different.
I know also before that.
High quality, you guys. Lossless compression.
Yes, of the Gap host saying things.
Yeah,
stuff.
If you put it in the notes, we'll with what you want us to record for you, we'll do it. And you have to request it when you give.
You have to request it. There's a note for a little memo line, and you can say, this donation is for the Gap. I want Althea and or Tammy to send a voice memo to, and then, you know, well, actually, your email address will be in there. So I'll even put it on a CD if you want it mailed to you. I said it.
Yeah.
No problem.
So it's a multimedia kind of thing.
Yes. And all these skills I learned.
Kboo.fm.
Kboo.fm/donate. And like we said today, every dollar that you donate today will be matched. That's fantastic. That's like buy one, get one free. Let's see.
Anyway, back to it.
Back to the show. You are listening to The Gap. My name is Tammy. On the line with me is Althea. In the studio is Sonia. And do you think we should do a little musical break and come back? Or what are you saying, Althea?
I kind of want to hear this this clip you teased earlier from the fellow from Canada.
You're on the edge of your seat. All right, we'll just keep on going then. I like it. So there is this video that I'm going to that Sonia will be playing in a moment, and it's by JJ McCullough, who is a YouTuber and a former political pundit in Canada. He also writes columns every once in a while for the Washington Post. So, you know, guys, foot in the door, as they say. And this is just a video of JJ just describing what being a political pundit is like.
So by the time I graduated high school, I was pretty convinced that I wanted to grow up to be one of those guys who shares his political opinions for a living, both in print and on TV. In other words, a political pundit. This is a relatively new sort of work, a job that is a product of a sort of late 20th century philosophy of journalism. A philosophy that argues there should be two distinct classes of journalists, reporters and commentators. The reporters are the unbiased people who just tell you the news as calm and neutrally as possible, while the commentators, or pundits, are the people who analyze the news for you. They can be as biased as they want because it is always made very clear that they are just speaking from their own personal perspective. Pundits are useful employees for news organizations for a number of reasons. By analyzing the news rather than just reporting it, pundits are able to help the audience make various subjective assessments about news stories and events. Assessments like, is this story a big deal or not? How should we feel about it? Happy, sad, outraged, or what? How can this story help us make useful predictions for the future? Should this story motivate us to act any particular way in response to it? And of course, pundits help make the news more lively and entertaining. When you are unbiased, you have to be rather stiff and formal all the time. Whereas when you're free to express an opinion, you can be more funny or combative or thoughtful, and that's more fun to watch.
There it is. That was JJ McCullough. Thank you so much. A YouTuber and ex-political pundit and contributor to the Washington Post from Canada. You can hear that lovely accent. I have a question for listeners and everyone in the studio and at home. How many times have you misidentified a political pundit for a news reporter? Raise your hand. A lot of you.
Invisible. But
one,
yeah.
Two, three, four. A lot, yeah. Because you see, what's this? My hand is raised too. Now, I'd like to get some opinions, and I'd like to talk about it a little more, break it down. By the way, this is a call-in show. 503-231-8187 is the number. Althea, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting the way that he portrays it, because I think the idea of a political pundit now, I don't know, it kind of sets off in me of like, somebody's lying to me. It's like, spin, oh no. But that there is something useful in of like, hey, should I actually care about this? Can somebody tell me? And boy, if there aren't 10,000 think pieces titled something to the effect of, hey, this thing happened and here's why you should care about it. And I think those things are useful. And hey, we're commenting right now, so can't knock it too much. But I think there is another aspect of it that when it gets to the, I feel like we're at an extreme nowadays. Mm. And that, like, we're at an extreme, and because of that, we're, like, the commentators have, I guess I don't know if I want to blame the commentators for that, but we're not having the same conversation on both sides of the aisle. I was also searching for clips for this segment, and I couldn't for the life of me find the one that I was thinking of, but that I've seen a clip in the past, and it's been talked about before, sort of like polling data about this particular subject, especially around the 2016 election, talking about the difference between Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act, and that people who you might consider to be in Trump's base, or people who maybe had and voted for Obama in 08 and switched to Trump or Romney or whatever, that if you ask them how they felt about Obamacare, because that was one of his main campaign promises, mind you, back in 2016, was that they were going to repeal and replace, and that also didn't happen, which is interesting to think about. But anyway, that, you know, you ask these people, hey, what do you think of Obamacare? And they say, oh, Obamacare sucks. It's the worst thing we've ever done in this country. It's socialism, and it's terrible, and I hate it. But if you ask them, it's like, oh, what do you think about the Affordable Care Act? It's like, oh, I like the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act made it so that I have health insurance when otherwise I had a pre-existing condition that allowed them to turn me away consistently. And so, but I mean, obviously, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act are the same thing. Obamacare, whoever coined that, it was smart. It evokes, to quote Trevor Noah, a sense of like, what, I skin my knee and Obama's gonna like come give me a hug, like that's it. Versus Affordable Care Act, like that's well named. That sounds like, you know, that I'm gonna be able to get health care for a good price. Who could argue with that?
Well, but I just wonder if the punditry, like the political pundits, if it creates this like kind of echo chamber for each side of the aisle, you know, like how often is it that people there is something to be said, you know, like there are some people that their job is to research the news and to see what's going on and to research it and to go to the library and figure things out and find articles that collaborate or disprove or something, you know. There's almost a science to reading news, right? Especially these days. You have to go to 15 fact-checking websites before you can do it, but you can figure out what's going on. But for pundits, I think that because they don't have to just be data-driven, they do have this wiggle room to be more, say character or whatever. They, like, what's it, like, the dude with the bow tie, Tucker Carlson. I know not much about him besides for, like, his hair and his bow tie. And, like what you said, like, oh, gosh.
You know,
right?
He used to be a news anchor. And, like, he kind of, like, failed his way. Like, no, he wouldn't, like, I watched a long video about him by a YouTube channel called Some More News, which is interesting if folks are thinking about that. But that he himself was just a regular old news anchor that bounced around from outlet to outlet and didn't get, you know, grounded anywhere. Nobody kept him for too long until he landed at Fox News and started doing the kind of commentary, hyperbole, race-baiting commentary that he does now.
Well, but you said it. He failed at it. So we have our political pundits on all sides of all aisles and all walks of any type. I mean, you have people without half a degree telling you that you shouldn't get vaccinated. So there are people out here spewing their opinions on everything. You know, it's not just political. But for the political pundits, because they aren't held to the same restrictions of of facts and data, they have the ability to have a more wide-reaching audience. So shouldn't they, in a way, be held to more responsibility? You know what I mean? Like, isn't it more dangerous for them to, like the Douglas Sheriff's Department says, stop spreading rumors? Because more people are listening to you because, you know, just because you're more palatable, or you are, you know, hitting them somewhere where in a way that they want to hear it, where it's not necessarily, well, but then it wouldn't be fact, so then they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So I'm just critiquing the whole thing to begin with, but it's doing exactly what it was meant to do, but I don't think anyone ever like expected it to become to this point where the new is just a circus, and it's not like
it's sort of that dissolution of what does it mean to be fact and what does it mean to be opinion. And you and I don't think we've talked about Ben Shapiro on the show, but that's something that he offers quite frequently in his rhetoric. It's fact.
I'm worried if we say his name too many times, he might like charge us or something. So
yeah, or he's gonna appear sort of like Beetlejuice, and I don't want that because. And again, this is my opinion. This is not a fact. He sucks. And I don't
like
him.
Wait,
what do
you say it like
that?
It's like, oh, right, okay.
I'm trying to model better behavior about talking about political pundits. I'm trying to model it for the listeners and just say that, in my opinion, he sucks. And you can do a critical analysis of it and find evidence for that. But I'm not prepped for that today. We're not going to talk about him again. Beetlejuice, that's two times now.
I know, I know. I'm telling you, it's gonna charge us. But if you didn't ever expose yourself to to him, or like to his punditry, then you wouldn't be able to like at least, you know, form a type of opinion that's like, some sort of opinion about it, but. They've become such mouthpieces. They've become like such puppets that like they've become like like memes basically.
Mm-hmm. And like playing to what do we think people want to hear, or how can I, and again, this kind of goes back to what we were saying with the Douglas County Sheriff's Department, which is like, what are your sort of existing beliefs about Antifa? Whether or not that's grounded in reality, for example, Antifa is not a cogent political group, it's just an ideology. That's difficult for people to grasp, but it's true. But if your existing opinion is that Antifa is trying to undermine the U.S. government, Antifa is attacking people, when someone shows you this picture of this encampment that you've never seen before because you don't live in Portland and you don't follow the news, and someone says, like, you know, Portland is so radical, they're allowing Antifa to camp out, like, they've made this for them, can you believe that? Like, I think to a certain extent it sort of bypasses any kind of red flag that you would turn up and be like, hey, wait, a city definitely can't just, like, house a group in a parking lot. That's not, like, they... laws still exist, some of them. They wouldn't do that, and that there is like a well-documented, like, and that it doesn't compel you to go into that documented history of how this houseless encampment was developed.
Oh yeah, it's in it. I think it also like leaves you with a whole bad notion of what you know, housing, you know, encampments or housing, just general projects are to begin. You know, it, going in the long term, if you just are just kind of tainted with that outlook on it. So it's a scary, slippery slope. And these pundits have a lot more grasp, especially on younger people, because, you know, again, it's more personality. It's more, you know, bombastic. It's more like the world is burning and this is why you should care, you know, so or like,
yeah,
and it's well, everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's another important aspect, especially in thinking about its appeal to young people, mm-hmm. is that political pundits make, like, of a certain ilk, I suppose, they want to make you feel smart.
Yeah.
They want to say, hey, everybody else is going to say that it's this other way and they're wrong, and you're right to be skeptical, and you actually are smarter than them because you're willing to listen to me and what I'm telling you and how I'm connecting the dots for you. And as somebody who went to college with a lot of sort of pseudo-philosophical knuckleheads, you can get really sort of wrapped up in that they're engaging in like good faith discussion about stuff when it's actually not good faith.
I wonder if that's like the story of QAnon and stuff, you know, like,
oh boy,
it just kind of,
yeah.
I know, I said it, I'm sorry.
Okay, start the Beetlejuice counter, that's one.
But I wanted to not switch over, but to this, it rolls really nicely into the Citizens Agenda project that you've been working on, and that we've talked about it before. And kind of getting to hear from listeners and the community at large what they want to hear from, you know, coming up this election. And I think that route is a lot more logical to me than the He Who Should Not Be Named route, the Shapiro route.
Yeah.
But I'll see you if you'd like to take it away for the Citizens Agenda part.
Yeah, when we brought it up before, the actual survey hadn't been launched. But basically, what CABA is doing this election season is we are trying to do a Citizens Agenda model of coverage, which basically means that we want to ground our election coverage and talk about the election from the point of view of what do our audience and what do communities of interest care about this election. And so we're asking the question, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? And that once we compile the answers from our community, then we are able to create this sort of published product of like, this is the KBOO Citizens Agenda. And we can take that to all of our different coverage, whether it's curiosities that people have voiced or also using them to help structure interviews with candidates and figuring out where do our candidates stand on the issues that matter to people and that they have voiced as like, I want candidates to be talking about X, Y, or Z. And if you want to call in and give us your thoughts, what do you want candidates to be talking about this election season? You can do that at
503-231-8187. Give us a call. Sonia can direct you. But if you are interested in it, don't want to be on air, no worries. The survey is online at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey.
Is there anywhere on the social media or on the website that folks can find this info?
Oh, yeah. There's like a box on the right side of the homepage on KBOO.FM that you can click on. And there's a whole blog post about what we're doing and what we're going to do with the information. And plus, if you fill out our survey, you could be entered to win a $50 Visa prepaid gift card.
That's what I'm talking about. Last time we did the Citizens Agenda, devoted fans know that we got a couple of great questions. And one that stuck with me the most was the environmental question about coupled with the protests that were happening downtown, still happening down or around the city, when tear gas was still being used and all sorts of the less than lethal weapons and gas disbursement methods, and what effects that has on the environment in town, whether it's the people, the animals, is the stuff going down the drain? Is it, and then, you know, what effect does it have on the people that were affected by it? So it opened up like such a wide door, or it opened up a door to this whole like wide array of questions that, you know, stemmed from just like the environment, like, you know, where are we with this? Because I know before the coronavirus, you know, we marching around and talking about environmental climate and, you know, and the Green New Deal and how we need to do all of these, take all these measures and take all these steps to be better and do better. And since the coronavirus, like we're just kind of starting to, you know, the conversation is kind of percolating again, but I think it's very visible as I look to the orange skies above me that, yeah, maybe this conversation needs to make its way back onto the table because it touches so many of our lives. But if you, the caller, the listener, have any questions that you'd like our elected officials to answer during our Citizen Agenda project, you can call right now at 503-231-8187. Or you can go online. And where is this box at, Althea, the website?
It's on the right side of the homepage.
Right side of the homepage. Sorry, at
KBOO.FM.
KBOO.FM. So I know that this project has been online for, I guess, it started this or last week. What are some of the most interesting questions you've gotten so far?
Yeah, there were some issues that people have raised that I was definitely expecting. Obviously, coronavirus, police brutality, racial justice, those are ones that I think are on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Excuse me, and are definitely things that we'll be focused on. But a number of people who were highlighting the role of corporations and money or elections, and sort of refocusing on that, which is also really interesting. And there was also an answer that contextualized it as like what social media companies, cough, cough, Facebook, are doing with all of this money and allowing elections to be influenced, which I thought was interesting because, you know, full disclosure, that was something that had slipped from the forefront of my mind, which I thought was an interesting place to think about. And really, credit where credit is due, it is like overwhelming to keep track of all of these different issue areas when it comes to elected officials and where they stand on particular issues or like what power their elected office has in regards to different political issues.
Oh yeah, and I think the, you know, we're talking a little bit that about, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the executive, you know, branch, sure, but the legislative branch has kind of, you know, it doesn't get as much attention as maybe it should, considering that laws are legislated there, you know?
Looking down ballot, aside from just like the presidential election, and I think that is something that, being in the Trump years has given us is that, you know, people have turned their attention more towards state, local, regional elections, which can also have like a really big impact on daily life and on seeing these kinds of changes that we want to have made. There's like a political science thing where they call like the states are like the laboratories of democracy. So like before things ever get to the federal level, they test it out in the states. For example, climate change legislation, or I guess cap and trade in California, we haven't gotten there yet. Cough, cough, Oregon Republicans walking out. but also things like legalizing marijuana. That's that reason. I mean, it's still federally illegal, but Western states, a bunch of states have now legalized it and are sort of like testing that out before now, I guess, it has come to the federal level.
Well, that's fantastic to know. Well, that's really good to know. I'm going to have to read about that. I'm very interested to read where that's going. Cool. I'm really interested in seeing how this formulates. And Althea, you know, a great job for working on this. I can't imagine it's an easy project to do. And I think that part of the, at least like my perception is that, you know, the Citizens Agenda project is, it's super helpful to know what people want to know about, as opposed to trying to just, you know, sensationalize everything and try to,
right,
you know, reach people in that aspect of sensationalizing or being, or like you said, being racist or being sexist or just going on the air, you know, in any format, radio, television, YouTube, Facebook Live, whatever, and spewing off like hateful nonsense that does nothing but harm people, to just be like, hey, what do y'all want to know about? And, you know, we'll do the research, you know, or we'll ask the question. And that's nice. That's really nice, Althea. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Well, and what I will say, like, you know, people living in and around Portland, we've now, like, seen firsthand what a national media storm looks like in our city. And just the sheer number of things that, like, the national media got wrong about what was going on back in July and any number of other things that have been following in Portland since then, that, you know, to sort of combat that and to brace ourselves for whatever the next media storm, whatever the next big story is that, hey, we know that our listeners really care about this. And I want to make sure that I can serve them by telling them the information so they can make their choice on the ballot.
Oh, Althea, thank you so much for that. I want one more time, shameless plug, how can people find this survey that you are offering to the public?
Yeah, you can find it on kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage, or at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey. And it's on our social media. If you are interested, you can find it. And I would love to hear what you have to say and have you be entered to win some money.
Ooh, what's up with the sweepstakes? There's a sweepstakes situation.
Yeah, there's a sweepstakes situation. If you fill out the survey and you provide like contact information, which we will only use to tell you if you won, and you can be entered to win a $50 Visa gift card.
You know, if just doing your civic duty isn't enough, don't worry, Visa got
it. Yeah, exactly. little incentive for you.
Incentive. And speaking of which, I know we're coming to the final hours of, or excuse me, the final moments, minutes, actually, of the show. And before we wrap it up, I just wanted to remind listeners that if you want to continue supporting or show support to programs like these and the many other wonderful programs that are on your local community radio station, KBOO Portland, you can show your support by going online to kboo.fm/donate and make a monetary donation to help keep us up in the air or on the air. You know, that's
up in the air. I like that. We're right thinking. Now. We're not.
Yeah, I would say streaming on the top of our lungs every day, 24 hours.
And your support is super important for us, and your donation helps not only, you know, keep the lights running, but also, like, you know, shape cable, shape what's on the airwaves. Donate your time, donate your money. We are open to it all. Obviously, we're not in the station because of the pandemic that is still in our city. But we can take donations on the website. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or you can send your contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Ave here in Portland. Althea, did I miss anything there?
I will just plug one more time. If you give $25, Tammy or I or both of us would be willing to record a voice memo for you. You just got to make a note of that when you give, and we will take it under advisement. Whatever purpose. I was thinking like outgoing voicemail, but again, guided meditation, sort of a message to yourself when something bad happens. We would be glad to record that for you.
Thank
you so much for your support.
I would gladly do that, gladly. Thank you all so much. This has been fantastic. Thank you, Sonia, and the station. Thank you, Althea. This has been The Gap, where we are minding and bridging and, you know, taking care of it all. Thank you all so much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Portland. This morning we feature an interview with KBOO's own Marcia Hawker about her life growing up in New York in the 1950s and her father's experience as one of the first black officers in the New York Police Department.